to the Wise Man's Page, the daily podcast where we read a page from Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear, one day at a time. This is page 58. Marie, he said, you intrigue me. Is there any chance I could buy you a drink and enjoy the pleasure of your conversation at some point tonight? I was too startled to do anything but stare. Standing there, the two of them looked like badly matched bookends. Marie stood 6 inches taller than Manet, her boots making her long legs look even longer. Manet, on the other hand, looked as he always did, grizzled and disheveled, plus older than Marie by at least a decade. Marie blinked and cocked her head a bit, as if considering. I'm here with some friends right now, she said. It might be late by the time I finish up with them. When makes no difference to me, Manet said easily. I'm willing to lose some sleep if it comes to that. I can't think of the last time I shared the company of a woman who speaks her mind firmly and without hesitation. Your kind are in short supply these days. Marie looked him over again. Manet met her eye and flashed a smile so confident and charming that it belonged on stage. I've no desire to pull you away from your friends, he said, but you're the first fiddler in 10 years that set my feet dancing. It seems a drink is the least I can do. Marie smiled back at him, half amused, half wry. I'm on the second tier right now, she said, gesturing toward the stairway, but I should be free in, say, 2 hours. You're terribly kind, he said. Should I come and find you? You should, she said, then gave him a thoughtful look as she turned to walk away. Manet reclaimed his seat and took a drink. Simon looked as flabbergasted as we all felt. What the hell was that? He demanded. Manet chuckled into his beard and leaned back in his chair, cradling his mug to his chest. That, he said smugly, is just one more thing I understand that you pups don't. Take note, take heed. When members of the nobility want to show a musician their appreciation, they give money. When I first began playing in the Aeolian, I'd received a few such gifts, and for a time, it had been enough to help pay my tuition and keep my head above water, if only barely. But Ambrose had been persistent in his campaign against me, and it had been months since I had received anything of the sort. Musicians are poorer than the gentry, but they still enjoy a show. So when... It's the end of the page. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Nick.
And I love this page so much because Manet is giving a masterclass in how to non-creepily hit on somebody with successful results.
I mean, do you think, this is directed at both of you, that this kind of line would be successful? Because it seems to me a little corny and a little bit of an idealized version of what that back and forth would sound like in real life.
You intrigue me. Can I buy you a drink sometime?
I think it's a little bit milady tip the hat, frankly.
I think because of the language that they mostly use, like, I feel like in this world they use a certain kind of language so it would fly a little easier. I think if someone said it in today times, I think they would have to be picking their person really well. I can see a giant nerd being totally okay with this.
Well, and
I can see someone who's like into that sort of thing, like being very interested in that sort of talk, but it depends on the person.
Well, and like also ignore the exact words, but the general tactic of, hey, can I buy you a drink sometime? I haven't met anyone like you before, and I don't want to take you away from your friends, but if you could spare a moment, I'd love to have a drink with you. That's what he's saying.
The concept, I think, would certainly work. The specific words might need some tweaking.
Well, because as you say, they are in a book. They're in like a fantasy book. They talk like they're in a fantasy book because that's where they're in.
Agreed.
All right. You've convinced me.
Do you disagree, Nick?
Like, I think I've expressed my dissatisfaction. I think it's a little bit milady, tip the hat.
I mean,
what specifically makes you think that?
You intrigue me. Might I enjoy the pleasure of your conversation at some point? Ladies like you are in short supply these days. You're not like other girls.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't like to be told that they're better or special?
Yeah, who doesn't like to be told that they're special?
All right, I don't want to turn this into another episode of Nick's Soapbox, so I'll back
also,
off. I think it's been
also,
sufficiently interrogated.
I think that, like, I'm a particularly bad person to ask because, like, I married the man who literally bowed to me on our second meeting. Like,
oof.
Yeah, point. This is an important data point.
Like, I am the worst person to ask because, of course, I would fall for that shit. I did.
Well, why don't we open this up to the listeners? Listeners, would Manette's line work on you?
But it's like, I want to emphasize here that it's not about the specific language that Manette, it's about his attitude, which is confident. He's confident. He's respectful. He compliments her, not on her like appearance. He doesn't say, hey, you got great legs and a nice ass. He says, you play a fiddle really well. And you're like, really, like, I find you really confident and you speak your mind. And I like that. Can I buy you a drink? He's complimenting her on things about her that like she has control over. And then he says, you know, it doesn't have to be right now. You know, I'm not going anywhere. But he's like, but he shoots his shot. He's confident. He doesn't say, oh, what could a girl like you ever see in a fella like me? You know, and Quoth is kind of judging him. He's like, you know, she's tall and gorgeous and he's kind of this disheveled nerd. And that just goes to show you that it doesn't actually matter as much what you look like so much as what your attitude is.
All right.
And that's obviously something that Manette has learned and is like, in a yes. way, sort of passing on by example.
Exactly. It's the wisdom that comes with age. I'm a more confident person now at 31 than I was at 21. At 21, I never would have had the confidence to ask anybody out in any
and
fashion.
I also think that giving the character who is admittedly the author insert this line to do is a bit, I don't know, questionable. But like I said, I think it's been sufficiently interrogated, and I'm happy to, shall we say, tip the hat and bow to you two.
Hat tipping is good, and we should do it all the time.
I mean, I think we should bring back capes.
Yes,
oh, yeah,
exactly.
100%.
Capes and walking sticks.
One could get away with a bow and a flourish with one
yeah,
stick.
Exactly. Capes, cloaks, walking sticks. Basically, Dracula Couture. Let's bring back
okay,
Dracula
well, like,
Couture, please.
I know we sort of moratoriumed the whole why we're separated thing, but just like because handshakes are kind of like a no-go right now, bowing and curtsying apparently is kind of back in some circles, and I'm down with that.
What circles are these?
I don't know. I heard it on the radio.
I see.
But I've totally practiced my bow. But apparently the way that works is that the first person to show up bows, like the first person, like whoever would normally put their hand up first for the handshake or whatever, like whoever gets there first bows, and then the other person has to curtsy. So like the curtsy is the response. And then if you both end up bowing because you both started at the same time, whatever. But, like, the idea being that, like, whoever got their first bows and then the other person curtsies.
I like the idea that in a post-corona world, that might end up catching on.
I'm down with bowing and curtsying. I think it's great.
Actually, yeah, kind of here for it.
Yep.
Yep.
Especially because it's also, like, not gender biased. The whole idea is that just, like, whoever got there first is the person who bows.
I mean, why can't you both bow? Why do you have to
I mean,
curtsy?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you both get there first, you can both bow. But it's meant to be like a call and response. The idea
sure.
is that's a call and response.
I mean, I feel like curtsying is inherently gendered, but bowing is not necessarily.
Oh.
That's
yeah.
just my insight on the my
best
impulse.
Way to degender curtsying. Have everybody do it.
I mean, don't you need to be wearing a skirt to curtsy?
No.
You could just fake having
I
a skirt, and then you look
all
really
the time
weird
without a skirt. You just hold your fake skirt.
All right. Are we done with the page?
Yes.
I think so.
Let's get through a couple letters. We have a letter from John on page 7. Magical yes. friend John writes, "Hail, thank you for fixing and clarifying the page 2-3 mix-up." Yeah, that was a trip, man. That really threw us off our game. Several points from page 7. Number 1, Graham is most likely trying to buy a beer to dull the pain, as you said, but my first reading of this was a way of him putting a little coin back in Coates' coffers. 2. A small beer is definitely not a term I'm familiar with, having been a barkeep in the UK for many years. These days, if you wanted a less strong beer, you'd order a shandy, beer and sparkling non-cloudy lemonade, or perhaps beer and lime cordial. 3. I, for one, welcome our new Simpsons reference overlords. Magically, John.
Yeah, thanks for writing, John. I feel like small beer is not something that anyone serves anymore. It's the kind of thing that, like, you ordered back in the days before you could rely on your drinking water.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still a thing. But I feel like I'd heard of it in a more contemporary context. Anyway, whatever. I think Barkeep John...
Also, there's a joke that you guys aren't doing.
Okay.
like, it's a joke that I would like expect you to do, but regarding a small beer.
Why don't you do the joke for us?
I can't. I'm not as good at it. But it's like, it's
what did we just learn from Manit?
That I have to think first before I start to talk.
No, from Manit.
No, you have to be confident.
Confidence conquers all.
No, I don't have that. okay, well, like, okay. Remember, it's like you can have a little blank as a treat.
Oh, you can have a small beer as a treat.
As a treat.
Jordana, I challenge you.
Telling a joke.
Next time you have a meme, I challenge you to pipe up and interject the meme. I guarantee you we'll be receptive to your memes.
Okay.
Jordana.
Did you have something to say?
Don't let your memes be dreams.
No, that was it.
Don't let your memes be dreams.
Okay, I will only let my memes be reality.
Great. We have another letter from Madsen on page 340. Madsen writes, "Hello, pagers. Forgive me if this comment has been sent in since this episode 340 was posted. I am still catching up. On this page, Elladin has taken Quoth into Alder Wynn's room. Wynn asks Elladin not to bring the thunder when Elladin visits again. It occurred to me as you were discussing what this might mean that Quoth tells us in his name, here's all my name speech, that one of the meanings of Maedhra, the name he receives from the Adem, is the thunder. I don't know what the implications might be, but I have been fully convinced that Wynn, being an accomplished namer, is referring to Quoth with this comment. Indeed, it doesn't seem like Elladin ever brings Quoth back to see Wynn, so maybe Elladin understands this comment. Love this podcast, very excited to catch up, and also will be sad when I can no longer binge. Cheers, Madsen." And Jordana, you have to give them a nickname. We'll talk about this offline. What say you, fellow pagers?
Okay.
I think we already discussed this during that page.
It does feel familiar.
I'm pretty sure that we brought this idea up.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember, but I think it's a great observation. I think that this also suggests that Elladin does understand. Or maybe he just, you know, he brought Quoth to Wynn as a teachable moment, and once the lesson was taught, he never needed to again. But I think that's a great observation by Madsen.
For sure.
Yup.
And indeed, welcome aboard. When you finally hear this several months after you started listening to us.
Well, by then, Madsen was saying something about not being able to binge, but he'll probably be able to binge.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You can always binge. Plus, you know, why not re-listen to some older episodes?
That's true. I do enjoy listening to the older episodes.
Yeah. I mean, not going to lie, I listen to the podcast. I put it on sometimes when I'm feeling lonely, especially now that we're socially isolated. When I want to hear your voices, I put it on and I laugh at how foolish and wrong you are and how clever and insightful I am.
And here I thought you were being sweet.
Oh, no. I just want to hear myself talk.
Don't we all?
Yeah. That's the main reason to have a podcast.
I'm always shocked at how I sound.
You sound great, buddy. You sound great.
Thanks. You sound great too, man.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, we all sound great.
Especially you, Nick.
We sure do.
You sound the best.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, random third person.
Yeah, who was that? Where did they come from?
I'm Mrs. Mailbag.
Excellent.
Have you seen my husband?
Yeah.
All right, I think we're done.
I think so.
All right, catch you on the flip side, dude meisters. Not.
On another page?
Of? The? Wind!